Let religion be to us life and joy.
Let it be a voice of renewing challenge to the best we have and may be. Let it be a call to generous action.
Let religion be to us dissatisfaction with things that are, which bids us serve more eagerly the true and right.
Let it be a sorrow that opens for us the way of sympathy, understanding, and service to suffering humanity.
Let religion be to us the wonder and lure of that which is only partly known and understood.
An eye that glories in nature's majesty and beauty, and a heart that rejoices in deeds of kindness and of courage.
Let religion be to us security and serenity because of its truth and beauty, and because of the enduring worth and power of the loyalties which it engenders.
Let it be to us hope and purpose, and the discovery of opportunities to express our best through daily tasks.
Religion uniting us with all that is admirable in human beings everywhere.
Holding before our eyes a prospect of the better life for humankind, which each may help to make actual.
Our second reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 7. We're in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount here. So this is Jesus speaking. Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. There's a poster that hangs in many Unitarian Universalist congregations in which our kids have been studying this year. In the center, it has an image of the world and the words, the golden rule. And in a circle around the globe, it has symbols of different religious traditions and the words from those traditions that sound like the standard, do unto others as you would have done unto you, more or less. So here they are. Baha'i, lay not on any soul a load that you would not wish to be laid upon you, and desire not for anyone the things you would not desire for yourself. Hinduism, this is the sum of duty. Do not do to others what would cause pain if done to you. Buddhism, treat not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. Confucianism, one word which sums up the basis of all good conduct, loving kindness. Do not do to others what you would not want done to yourself. Taoism, regard your neighbor's gain as your own gain, and your neighbor's loss as your own loss. Sikhism, I am a stranger to no one, and no one is a stranger to me. Indeed, I am a friend to all. Christianity is the end of the quote from Matthew that I just read you. Native spirituality, we are as much alive as we keep the earth alive. Zoroastrianism, do not do to others whatever is injurious to yourself. Jainism, one should treat all creatures in the world as one would like to be treated. Judaism, what is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. This is the whole Torah, all the rest is commentary. Islam, not one of you truly believes until you wish for others what you wish for yourself. Unitarian Universalism even makes the poster, though it calls us just Unitarianism. And the poster quotes the seventh principle. We affirm and promote the inherent worth, the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. That was the first principle I was starting out on there. The poster is distributed by Brent Abramson and Fred Smith of Teachers Press, who wrote a very short curriculum on the Golden Rule for use with kids. They make the point in their materials that the Golden Rule is a worldwide ethical standard that can be used as the sole foundation for an effective ethical code. This is a point I have heard lots of others make, that the Golden Rule appears in scriptures around the world and so it can be used as the universal ethic of human relations. But what does always struck me is that the different articulations of the Golden Rule are actually not the same. There are some pretty fundamental differences in these variations, differences which seem to lead ethically in some pretty distinct directions. The first distinction between the variations on this theme is whether they are negatively or positively stated. In other words, do they ask us not to do things we would not want done to us, or do they ask us to do things we would want done for us? On the poster, the negative version, the version about not doing something, is by far the most common, and includes examples from Baha'i, Hinduism, Buddhism, Confucianism, Judaism, and Zoroastrianism. The two that are the positive version of the classic formulation, the ones instructing us to do something, are Christianity and Jainism. Then we have variations that ask us instead to feel something. On this poster, those versions are the Taoist, regard your neighbor's gain as your own gain and your neighbor's loss as your own loss. And the Islamic, not one of you truly believes until you wish for others what you would wish for yourself. Though it's not included on the poster, we might add the Christian, love your neighbor as yourself, to this category. Though I would need more context to do a real analysis, I would probably put the Sikh, I am a stranger to no one and no one is a stranger to me, indeed I am a friend to all, in this category. And finally, we have versions that ask us to consider not just human beings in our ethical decision making, but a wider community. The Jains include all creatures, and the quotes from Unitarian Universalism and Native Spirituality included here speak of the interdependent web of all existence and the earth itself. Now, in some sense, of course, all of these are similar statements. All of them are asking that we make decisions in our lives based not only on our own needs and desires, but also by considering the needs and desires of others. In a sense, they all call for a certain degree of empathy, and they invite us to notice the worth and humanity of other people. Other people, too, have feelings and wants and needs. They are not simply objects that we can use or treat in any way we desire. A care for the other, for others is at the heart of the Golden Rule in all of these cases. But scratch the surface just a little bit, and there are these differences which I believe are actually pretty profound. Let's take the difference between treat not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful and do to others as you would have them do to you. To illustrate the difference, let's look at the story of the Good Samaritan. So in this story, of course, there is a man set upon by thieves and left grievously injured on the side of the road. Two respected men of influence walk by on the other side of the road, crossing the road in order to do so, while the Samaritan, a man from a suspect group, stops to help. So it's clear that the robbers have broken both the positive and negative versions of the classic Golden Rule by actively doing to someone what would be harmful if done to them. Right, okay. And it is clear that the Good Samaritan has followed both versions of the rule. The question is whether the two who passed without offering aid have acted in accordance with either version of the Golden Rule. I would argue that an ethic based on not causing harm is not the same as an ethic based on doing what one would want done. So, these two who passed by did not do what they would not want done for them, but they also did not cause harm. They were not the robbers, and so we might argue that they have actually kept the negatively stated version of the Golden Rule. Now, we could parse this differently and say that neglecting to help is something harmful that these two men did, and so the do not do what you would not done version does apply. And perhaps in this case, where the need was so immediate and obvious, and where they had to actually cross the street in order not to encounter the need more directly, we might say that walking by without helping is something these men did that caused harm. But in the bigger picture, in the more general sense, I think that a code based on not causing harm lets us off the hook for the things we might have done to help, but didn't. Purely not causing harm would not demand active promotion of justice or active resistance to oppression. With this as the goal, it seems all too easy to step back, to be a passive bystander to great harm, simply because one is not actively involved in causing it. Now, I want to be clear that I am not disparaging the traditions that are listed on the poster with the negative version of the Golden Rule. The poster just lists one small line from each of these traditions, and many of them have mandates to more active compassion or justice-making that simply aren't quoted here. For example, the poster lists Rabbi Hillel in the Talmud for the Jewish version, expressed here in negative terms. The Christian, love your neighbor as yourself, is actually a quote from Leviticus in the Hebrew Bible. So both versions exist in Judaism. Which brings us to the next category of variations on the theme, the versions that ask us to feel something. These are interesting to me because they take a different tack. They ask us to let others in more deeply to our inner lives. They ask us to empathize more deeply with others, to consider them not just in our actions, but also in our affections. In terms of effectiveness, it would seem that this version asks the most of us, and therefore might go the farthest toward creating an actually just, equitable, and compassionate world. Of course, most of the versions of the Golden Rule are based on this fundamental idea of reciprocity, this reference to what you want, need, desire, or love. I would go so far as to argue that those versions that don't have this characteristic are actually not part of the Golden Rule and are in another ethical category altogether. The Golden Rule asks us to consider ourselves and use that as a starting point to consider others. And this requires a fundamental assumption, that the other person we are considering wants, needs, desires, or loves as we do. When Rachel and I were first dating and hanging out together on the weekends, we ate a lot of French toast. I'm not really sure why, because it was quick and easy. As far as I'm concerned, the best pieces of a batch of French toast are those cooked last, as they are the hottest when it's time to eat. And so we would make French toast, and in an effort to be generous, and honestly to impress her, I would try to give Rachel the pieces cooked last, and I would eat the earlier pieces. But one day, we happened to be discussing the relative merits of pieces of French toast, and Rachel told me that she preferred the pieces cooked first. I don't remember exactly why, but it had something to do with relative crispiness. So she had been giving me the pieces she preferred in an effort to be generous as well. Once we figured this out, she ate the pieces cooked first, I ate the pieces cooked last, and we were both happy. The Golden Rule falls short. As an ethical guide, when people or cultures differ in what they want or need, or in how they love. We have some fundamental things in common as human beings, yes, but we also have differences which are real and which matter. So, for example, people and cultures differ in how they express love, how they express respect, how they escalate or de-escalate conflict, and on and on. In some cultures, the way to express interest and respect in a conversation is to wait until the other person finishes talking and then begin responding. In other cultures, the way to indicate investment in the conversation and the relationship is to jump in just before the other person stops talking. If two people from these two different cultures are talking to each other and both treat the other the way they would want to be treated, both will feel that the other person doesn't really care about them or the conversation. Differences such as these are so much a part of our experiences as human beings that Dr. Tony Alessandra and others have begun promoting what they call the Platinum Rule. Do to others as they would have done to them. Now, I think that the right rule for an occasion depends a bit on the context. In a context in which acts of violence or vengeance are commonplace, the version that asks us to refrain from harming others in ways we would not want to be harmed can be radical and very necessary. In contexts in which there is widespread passivity in the face of injustice, oppression, or harm, the call to actively do for others what we would want done for us can be a clarion call for just action. In a context in which actions are undertaken to satisfy a certain understood standard of behavior, but in which people do not feel connected on a deeper level, the version which asks us to love one another can bring us closer together. And in an increasingly multicultural world, the version that asks us to treat others according to their own desires, rather than assuming that everyone feels the way we do, is new and important challenge. Finally, in a world hurtling towards irreversible climate change, the versions that ask us to consider something larger than just human beings may be in order. I find that there are appropriate applications in daily life of each of these versions as well. For example, for me, the negative golden rule, do not do unto others what you would not want done unto you, is most effective in traffic. Where I can't really see the other person, they're just a car, and so loving them is maybe a little out of my reach, but when I'm running late and I'm stressed and people are being slow or otherwise annoying, the negative golden rule comes into effect, right? I don't like it when people are tailgating me, so I will not tailgate this car, no matter how much I want to. I think the positive golden rule, do unto others as you would have done unto you, works really well in the sort of normal course of human interactions, especially short ones, like the checkout counter or people that you encounter on the street, where you can't really, you don't have the time, it's not the space to get into a deeper discussion of how do you like to be greeted at the, when you're walking down the street, how do I like to be greeted? So you do as you would have done and hope that that's good enough. The platinum rule seems especially important in cross-cultural interactions, but also with those who are closest to us and with whom we interact most of the time. For example, in marriage, and perhaps in the congregation, where we actually do have the time to say, you know, that word, when you say it, means one thing, but I hear it this other way, so let's work out a way of understanding each other, or my culture's way of expressing respect is to make eye contact, but your culture's way of expressing respect is not to, so let's find a middle ground there, etc. And finally, in our actions which do have a global impact in terms of their environmental impact. Just use impact twice in one sentence, sorry. Anyway, when we're doing things that affect the whole world, that's the time to use the versions that ask us to consider the good not just of human beings, but of other creatures and indeed of the earth itself. Of course, let us come back to saying that all of the variations of the golden rule are about acting in ways which take others into account. And so they are all expressions of love. And so, as we conclude this morning, let us remember the words of our own covenant, which also call us to love. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer, to dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom, and to serve humankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony, thus do we covenant with each other and with God. Please join me in a moment of silence.